witnesses. Extra clips, getaway whips, ready for drama. Flirting with death, ain't no escaping the karma.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com. The Sweetgrass Clan is a volunteer-based coalition that provides safety, security, and essential resources to the most vulnerable members of the downtown Eastside community. In addition to providing food and safety, the Sweetgrass Clan also connects people with advocates for housing, mental health counseling, and drug and alcohol detox. The Sweetgrass Clan is always looking for new volunteers to support the downtown Eastside community and are able to offer volunteers grocery gift cards and bus tickets as honorariums. If you would like to offer your volunteer support to the Sweetgrass Clan, you can reach out via email at abfrontdoor.org or visit abfrontdoor.org.
Lemons, heavy lovers, or anything I've been asking for. Side step through the leaves, follow you when you leave. Translating the feelings when you're looking at me. Red light, dirty liquor, and the birds and the bees. Names exchange, loving on your brain. When we going back, tell me how long you wanna stay. Dancing under light, running home in the rain. Kisses on my face, hands up on my waist. No time, like did you put something up in my wine or my lips on my heart, or it's felt that you fed the grapefruit of mine. I ain't tryna do this forever and ever, evil. And when the sun comes, it's like I'll still let me stop. Grab my bag, hold a cap, hold a reefer. Now, take the lead, but I'm the leader. Like, take the lead, but I'm the leader. Like, take the lead, but I'm the leader. Like you wake up, didn't expect me to leave. Coffee stain left a note with some weed. Boy, get high, cause reality's a thief. I said no more, I leave him wandering to east. Free park grinder and you're stealing all my keys. That's grounded in my feet. Got a new friend in my new red sheets. Hands up on my waist, no time. Like, did you put something up in my wine? That you fed the grapefruit of mine. I ain't tryna do this forever and ever, either. And when the sun comes, it's like I still have these stuff. Grab my bag, hold a cap, hold a reef. Now, take the lead, but I'm the leader. Like, take the lead, but I'm the leader.
I'm the leader. Now, You are now tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and we're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, and Squamish. Sorry, let me do that again. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nations territories here on February 21st, the 21st day of Black History Month, and welcome. We do this every Tuesday, 10 to 11, where we talk about what's going on here in the Lower Mainland, what's going on here worldwide. Sometimes we like talking about what's going on, you know, in the other worlds as well. Listen, there's always a lot. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes I have some guests in here. Sometimes, you know, you can put in your half on the show. You can call in. The number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And before we get started, listen, I know that the fund drive was last week, maybe two Tuesdays ago. But listen, the fund drive never stops here on Off the Beaten Path. Listen, give up some money to the CITR. We could need it. We could use it. There's so much good programming that goes on here. We talk about it all the time. I mean, but also if you're giving up your money to other worthy causes, that's good too. And if also, listen, sometimes a worthy cause is yourself. Listen, if you're listening to the radio at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night, you know, maybe you're driving around, maybe you're working, you know, maybe you listen to this in the morning because, you know, you're just like, you know what, I need Off the Beaten Path when I am driving to work. Or maybe you're just tired, you know, you're taking your socks off, you're trying to figure out if your roommate smoked the last little bit of your weed or if you can, you know, hit the pipe a little bit, smoke some resin, you know. Or maybe you're just like, you know, Issa's definitely got some great stories for me. All things are true. And also probably what you're really here for is the good music. So that was Belle Cobain with Leader on that song. Honestly, probably one of my favorite songs of the past few days. Because I try to listen to a lot of music so that I can bring it to y'all. And you know what I'm saying? Let you know what's going on in the week. You know, help you feel informed and like you know what's going on. Listen, and I know that this is probably not on your radar because we talked about it being the time where we're like, oh, you know, is it going to get nicer? Is it going to continue to get nice? And the answer is no, at least not for this week. This weekend, we're going to have some snow, some scattered flurries on Saturday, and it's just going to get continually colder and colder this week with lows of -8 tomorrow. So I hope you did what you had to do today. Today I went grocery shopping, so I didn't even realize the weather was going to be bad. I just could, you know, like when you can see the clouds and you know that it's raining off in the distance. And I was like, wow, it's really sunny over here, but it's not over there. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to go get some grocery shopping right at that moment rather than waiting the day. And lo and behold, it was sleeting and freezing rain on my street. So just know that's not going to stop. And you know what else is not going to stop? The scammers. The scammers are always out. Listen, the scammers are out already. Look, you know, we normally talk about it after the first musical break, but I got so much good music that I feel like, you know what? I got a lot of stories too I can just share. And so, listen, the scammers are out. It's not, honestly, it's not a good time to just be out here trying to live wild and free, just because, you know, people are, like, it doesn't seem as if that is kind of the smart choice. What I see, you know, it feels as if people are just getting a little bit more desperate. And so when I say that, I say there was a 72-year-old woman who was found to have stolen over $600,000 since 2004 from her church by just skimming a little bit off the top. So, like, basically in the last 20 years, she has stolen around $30,000 a year. I wonder if she was volunteering at the church. Like, I kind of wonder, like, how she got away with $600,000 over that long. But I guess when you put it down in $30,000 a year, it doesn't sound that much. Like, break it down over every Sunday. That's not even $1,000 on a Sunday. Listen, Joel Osteen, he just talked about how he pays himself $54 million a year. And I'm like, you know what? I feel like he's scamming more than this lady is. But the scam don't stop, right? So she got caught and sentenced to 2 years, and they're not going to make her pay back all that money because she spent it. And I think, you know, we talk about scams on the show all the time, and like the scams that you're willing to do, maybe willing to take part of, and maybe willing to not take part of. And I think she did the math and the calculus, and she was like, you know what, this is going to be good, right? Because it's interesting because they're going to take, you know, year 72, 73, 74, from her, but she's been spending that money going on lavish. They're talking about the lavish vacations. And at first I was reading the article and I was like reading it like a hater. Like I was reading it like I was a hater. And if you know me, you know that that's like one of the things that I fear the most is being a hater. Because I try not to get too caught up in like the interpersonal, like how I feel about X person. Like I don't try to get into, you know, X person is racist, you know what I mean? And X person is not racist. X person is, you know, rich, I hate them, or, you know, something like that. You know, it's just, the interpersonal makes everything a little bit more muddy, right? But so when thinking about, you know, I was reading her story and just being like, damn, she stole all this church money to go on vacation. And I'm like, you know what? I don't believe in the church, right? So why should I feel bad that they got stolen from? And it's not like she's stealing from the church. Stealing from God, who I don't think exists, right? So how is that bad? There's no crime there. And however, and she went on vacation. Like the vacation, so let's say she was 52 when she started stealing. She's stealing $30,000 a year. Let's say she's going on $30,000 vacations every year. Maybe three $10,000 vacations. And maybe some years, you know, maybe 2021 after COVID, she had $60,000 saved up. She was like, I'm going on a $60,000 vacation. Damn, do you know how long a cruise she could go on? Cruises are like $300, you know, $200 a night. She was chilling. Like she was chilling, taking her family on vacation, taking her friends. Listen, those years, 52 to 72, she doesn't want to, she's like, you know what? Fuck it. Take my 72 to 74. I had a great 52 to 72. I'd trade, listen, right now, I put this, you can see my right hand is on my cell phone, on the Apple, because what do we all really worship, you know? If somebody was going to give me, I don't know, I don't even know how much money I'll have at 52, but if somebody was going to give me an extra $30,000 from 52 to 72 every year, tax-free, and I just have to go to jail from 72 to 74, I'm going to take that trade. I'm taking the trade. You know, you can think about it, but me, I'm going to take it. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about why you should think about, have second thoughts about how much fun you're going to be having in BC for the next little bit. These streets are hotter than you know.
Talk it out. maybe. Ooh, we could talk about in daydreams. Feel like a million miles between you and me. So if you could go it out, I want you to leave. I want you to leave.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Listen, we do this every week. Listen, send some goddamn money to the fund drive. It's embarrassing how little money we got here on Off the Beaten Path. And we come right after Crimes and Treasons. Should be coming through. But you know what? Listen, I understand. I don't got it either. So I didn't even donate to myself. But you know what? Just because you can't donate to yourself doesn't mean you shouldn't be investing in yourself. I have this idea where, listen, I love hustle culture, but I also, because I think it's so funny. Like, because there's no end. Like, There's no amount of ridiculousness that you could say that, like, people won't believe. And we talk about desperation. We talk about scams in here all the time. But I find that there are so many symptoms in our society that I feel like can really be brought back to some level of desperation. And desperation for resources that are not as scarce as we like to pretend that they are. It's kind of... crazy. It's all made up, man. No, but really it doesn't have to be like that. Like I just really find it all kind of sad, but the hustle culture for me is like the funniness and the sad because it's so sad. I listened to this podcast called, Behind the Bastards, which just kind of talks about all of the people who we like to, you know, who we think are net negatives for society. And it talks kind of about where they came from. And it was talking about the rise of Andrew Tate. And then it was also talking about, I made this connection with this Ernie Leisure guy talking about, I can't remember who they were talking about, but some... what they deemed culture vulture comes into hip hop. This white guy comes into hip hop, gets like legitimacy, and then makes a lot of money. And there's so much money in desperation around money and type of insecurities, particularly of men, because men are just willing. We're just kind of taught to just part with your money, even though you're also taught to save your money. But like, really, you're taught to part with your money. It's some weird contradiction that it's, anyways. Hustle culture is just hilarious. And so every time I feel like my algorithm in my phone is just very tuned in to my humor and always bringing me hustle culture videos that are on the line where I'm like, come on, people can't believe this. And then people making jokes about hustle culture and there's not enough jokes because people still believe it. But also it's sad because people are still desperate. And I find it hard. I find punching down on desperation. I find it punching. It's just kind of distasteful, even if you or two are desperate like me. I feel like, you know, it's like, I'm not in a different position. I just feel better than you, which makes it worse, right? I don't know. Anyways, you don't want to be out here having fun. Listen, if you're a raw dogger, think about it. Think twice. Syphilis cases are on the rise across the province, warns BC Center of Disease Control. In the last year, there's been a 27% increase of the STI. Syphilis is one of those diseases that kind of that really scares me. One, listen, it's symptomless, so you need to make sure that you go out, get yourself checked up. And two, is one of those that makes your brain rot. Listen, take care of your body. Go get checked up. And then make sure that you're not passing it to other people. And if you're out here having sex, man, make sure it's safe. Make sure it's safe because it's a reality. It's on the rise. Also, what else is on the rise that also might be keeping you from having fun here in BC is there's a rise in shortages of Plan B. So not only, you know, you might dodge the clap, but get hit. I don't know. Dude, I was gonna try to rhyme clap a baby, but there's no logical linear line from that to baby. Even though I don't even think the clap is syphilis, but you guys get the idea. Listen, there's a shortage in Plan Bs and a rise in syphilis. Wrap it up, guys. Nobody wants any Scorpios anyways. So stay safe. And when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about some Black history that I've learned that is actually quite interesting here in BC and what you would also be interested in knowing. And when we get back, I'm going to tell you. Got some new music and some old music. Thank you. You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, this is a radio show. We got music. If you don't like it, call in and talk your goddamn self. Listen, I don't want to hear you complaining. Because the music is good. Listen, it's 11, 10 o'clock at night. People want to be listening to something smooth. The internet is one of the most amazing places and one of the most terrible places at the same time. It's so crazy sometimes. And it's also so crazy how, like, the worst things suck you in. So, you know, while I'm listening to the music, you know, I'm scrolling my phone like you. And there's this article about, it's called How Apple Captured Gen Z in the U.S. and Changed Their Social Circles. Just basically talking about the Android versus, you know, iChat. So, like, you know, when, you know, I got iPhone, you got iPhones. When, you know, when you have iPhones, the chat's blue and then, you know, it just works all nice. And when somebody with an Android, somebody changes their phone, and somebody comes into the chat, then the shit just starts getting fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, you can't text straight and it's just bad. Anyways, I kind of hate that they wrote an article about it. It's like, you know, first off, I think that generation, like, looking at that from a generational standpoint is just stupid. It just considering the fact that, one, how friendships are made up within, like, you look at that generation, like, they're in the age of friendships, but that hasn't been that's been a thing since the iPhone had iMessage. So since 2000 and, you know, was that like 9 or something, whenever the first iPhone came out. Like, this is not, it's not a Gen Z thing, but, like, you know, they just keep pumping out these articles that are nothing, which is kind of the worst about the internet. However, but the principal economist at the U.S. Census Bureau, this is what he tweeted. He said, "I would never understand how time and again Apple will intentionally cripple a part of their product's functionality, and their users, instead of demanding better products, respond by socially ostracizing anyone whose presence would highlight the crippled features." Now, I understand, you know, maybe I might say that, you know, maybe you might say that, but the principal economist at the U.S. Census Bureau, I think, shouldn't say, like, "I never understand how X incentives deal with it." And I think that it's probably, you know, one of those larger ideas that, like, people are just performing on the internet, and he's just dumb. Like, and I was talking to a friend today and I was just thinking about it. Like, what's the point of getting smart? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's the point of getting real smart? Like, I was talking to myself. So, like, you have to take that, think about that, like, as we're going forward. And so, you know, but what's the point of getting smart? You know, like, that we can get so smart. Like, you could get so smart. You can spend all the time you want reading, being smart. We're looking at a world. I feel like I used to be like, man, I just want to get smart. I want to read so many books, and I still want to read books because I like reading. Like, I'm addicted. I'm in the system. I'm like, well, maybe if I read one more book, you know, or this is just for fun. You know, but, like, you just, like, you're like, oh, we're in, like, definitely the anti-intellectual era of, and I don't even know it's the era, but anyways, it's just, like, why get smart? Like, this is the principal economist. I can never figure out the incentives of people. I'm like, this is what I do for work. I think I'm a smart person. Sometimes I'm like, damn, I don't know. Yeah, it's just interesting, you know. I can never understand. Like, your job is to understand incentives, and you can't understand how that's an incentive. How can you help people understand policy if you don't understand incentives? And you're the economist. It doesn't make any sense. Let's talk about this one first. So there was a homicide in Richmond. And it was pretty scary because it was a 48-year-old woman and a 14-year-old woman who were found dead inside, kind of similar to when they found those two women on Alma. You know, obviously nobody here knows what the hell is going on, but they also said at the murders that they were, you know, one-offs. How can somebody be murdered yesterday and police is like, you know, this is a one-off? Was there a note? You know, can you give us, like, can you let us in on something so we can feel a little safe? Because when I see those things, I mean, you know, that murder happened on Alma. That was a long time ago. I mean, obviously, we haven't heard anything about it. I feel like in Vancouver, you don't really hear about what happens afterwards. But it would be nice to know, like, is that a one-off? Like, is that, was it targeted? Like, how do I know it's not going to run up on me? And I don't think so. I don't think that they would. I feel like a lot of these things are targeted. When I hear about murders in Vancouver, it's like always, it feels like the person who's the victim maybe knows what happened. Except for in this case, it's like 14. Like, yeah, it's a baby. It's sad. Yeah, it's weird. But, so, there was an article. I didn't really like the way the article was framed, but I thought it did a good job and highlighted something that we talk about a lot in my life with me and my actual friends, which is, you know, this idea of the patronizing of black businesses. One, how it needs, black businesses need visibility. Businesses need visibility, you know, all year round, not just during Black History Month, you know, and you know, this is an article in CBC. I would advise you to go check into it and just go look and see which are some of the businesses maybe that you might want to support. And also maybe you just might want to know, you know, like there are different types of skincare companies, you know, that maybe might fit you better. Or there's different type of clothes companies from clothing brands that you from designers that you might like. Or, you know what I mean? There are, you know, there's tattoo artists that, you know, you might like their art. So just go check out, because I think that, you know, when you support black businesses, it's not just that you're supporting somebody who's black, but you are also getting their product. You know what I mean? Like that. And, you know, and it's something about getting something that somebody made and maybe in something in a, you know, in a, some, and you're looking someplace that you might not have never looked. You might find some, you know, you might find some shea butter soap that might be better for your skin than whatever you're buying from the Shoppers. So go check it out. There's a few businesses, so you should go check them out. There's a Black Business Association here in BC where you can see a directory of the businesses. There's also a store on Granville Island that's like a consignment shop for black businesses. So you can go check it out, and you should. I think there's a tattoo artist in the article that I'm going to try to get a tattoo from. Because you know what? Because you know, here on Off the Beam Path, we're not new to this. We're true to this. We practice what we preach, going out, making sure we're spending money with the people. You know what I mean? And with that said, there's an artist here, which is so interesting. I saw his article. It's Robert Burke. Robert Burke is an artist that lives on the island and spends his time painting. Some of the paintings are really cool. I had to look them up because one of the annoying things about the CBC article is it only shows one picture of Robert Burke, and then it shows another picture of a historian who talks about the American soldiers that came to help build this Canadian highway, which is one of those soldiers was the father of Robert Burke. So what happened is, this is very interesting Canadian history. I didn't know. Like, I knew a little bit about Victoria, and I knew about Campbell River from the book Go and Do Some Great Thing, which is about the black presence in BC, which is a great book if you want to learn a little bit more about not just the history of black people in BC, but the history of BC and how BC, one, stopped being, how BC was founded, and also how BC was founded, one, by the first governor of BC was black, and also how his perspective about race relations in the United States actually helped keep BC Canada and not allow BC to become part of the United States. So that's a good history that you should go check out. And but Robert Burke is just very interesting talking about his history. His father came here to in the U.S. Army to come build this road in this part of in during this time in Canada to come build this road. They segregated the white off the white. What do you call it? Soldiers and the black soldiers, and they wouldn't let the black soldiers come to town. The black soldiers, obviously, you know, found fun and were able to make a life, you know, for themselves other ways. And he met Robert Burke's mother, and they had a baby. And then Robert Burke's dad went back to the States, and the baby, he was abandoned. And he went through foster care and went to a residential school. And it was just very interesting. There's just a short blurb of him talking about, what it was like being half black and half indigenous in the residential schools, and also knowing other half black kids in residential schools as well. Just something I've never, like an aspect of history that obviously you know exists, but you know, you never really think about, and just kind of what his experiences was. And he's got some great paintings, and you should check him out because I'm going to try to check him out. Listen, I wish I wasn't so, wish there was a way I could have so much art in my house. I find it being so interesting to be able to have people's stories in your place. But it's also just interesting to know that there's so much interesting black history in Canada that's intertwined with what I believe, you know, with my history from America, you know, and from the Caribbean. And how all of these things is intertwined. Like, there's no island, really. It's all comes together. And before we go into another musical break, I think that this story I read, and I was like, you know what? This is very touching. So there is a BC father who honors, who wants to honor the memory of his late daughter by giving hugs to strangers. So in Prince George, there's a man who, you know, one of the things his daughter taught him, and his family was just really about this importance of hugging. And so they lost their 13-year-old daughter last year. And so he's tried to start this movement and in a way to alleviate some grief from him and his family and to hug strangers. And I thought it was very, I was very touched by it. As someone who loves, I love hugs, right? So it's like, so it's very, and also think that we don't hug enough. And so it is an interesting way to honor, you know, that your lost daughter. And it's very sad. I find like kids die. It's like sad. And they're hoping that they can have 200 individuals. So if you're listening to this from Prince George, they hope to have 200 individuals from 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday at Prince George City Hall. But I can see there being more because You gotta come through. You gotta come through. And so, if you're with somebody who you feel like hugging, you should hug them. Or maybe you're on the bus. Don't hug the people on the bus. But you can look at them, and you know, you do one of these. You put your hands up, shrug your shoulders. Maybe they might be like, you know what? I'm listening to Off the Beaten Path 2. That's crazy. Let's hug it out. You never know. Thank you. Yo, you're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, I just want to let you know that the kids are all right. So I've just read a story about how some high school kids in the greater Austin area threw a party in a mansion while the owners were not home. And I was just talking about this with some friends at work because we were just talking about just kind of being teenagers in the era before social media and before there was basically cameras everywhere, and just that the shit that you could get away with that you wouldn't be able to get away with anymore. You know, just like the sneaking out. You know, everybody's family's got cameras on their house right now. So it's like, even if you snuck out, you'd get caught by your neighbor. Like, you know, or it would go beep, beep. Your mom would wake up and be like, where the fuck are you at? I see you on camera. You'd be stuck. You know, or just like, you know, when you used to just go to the movies and you just be out, like, you know, you look it up in the paper. You're like, movie starts at 6:20. Tell your mom, like, all right, I'm going to the movies. I'll be back later. I mean, maybe you go to movies. Maybe you don't. You know, but, you know, I was wondering, just like, what can you do now as a kid? You're just always on camera. Absolutely not. These kids were like, you know what, Issa, I heard you talking shit, and you know what? I got you. So they threw a party. They broke into the house. They didn't have to trash the house, but I mean, it's not mine. It's like, they broke into the house, and basically the guy's neighbors called, and they were able to come back and get to the house. All the teenagers were scurrying off. And listen, there's going to be somebody who gets in trouble for that party. I guess it went out on Snapchat. You can see on some websites, you can see the invitation. And I'm like, you know what? You look back and you think about, like, kind of the parties that you went to, or maybe some of the things that you did and some of the places that you're at. Like, but definitely the parties that you're at people's houses. And you're like, man, like, I threw a party at my house once, which was a mistake, but it was also like people who I was cool with, but not that cool with, because they threw up in my basement behind the bookshelf that I didn't even see and nobody told me about until my mom was like, what the? But anyways, I only threw a party at my house once and it didn't go too bad. But I've been at other people's houses and golly, the sacrifices that people have seen, that people like didn't really know that they were putting themselves under, for my benefit. Thank you. Listen, some real soldiers back there, back then. And the person who put this party on, who organized it, who knew that their neighbor wasn't home. Cause you know, they got to live in the neighborhood. You just can't go to a random house and throw a party. Like, you had to know the person who made the horrible decision of knowing and like knowing about this house and then telling everybody. You got a friend in Off the Beaten Path. Listen, we're a fan. We're a fan of your work, and I'm glad you stepped up. And it's for me, it's just good to know that the kids are able to still be kids, because there's a lot of value in that. You know, I don't know what it is. Maybe you know what it is, but I'm not sure. But I'm sure we'll figure it out. What? Sometimes. Oh, man, I saw a sad story today. Two sad stories, really. But one was just that this man at home in the metro, his dog was on the train. He was not on the train. The train took off. I don't need to tell you what happened, but could you, oh man, just the panic of being like, damn, my dog's on the train and I'm not on there. That sucks. And then being like, wait, I'm connected to the train. This sucks. No jokes. No joke after that one. It's just, that's just unfortunate and terrible accident. So I'm going to leave you with two stories that are positive. two positive stories. First positive story. I mean, maybe it's positive for you. Maybe it's a negative for you. But basically, penis sizes have increased 29% over the past 30 years, says some doctors. And maybe, depending on where you're sitting, that's a good or a bad thing, you know? But it is something to note that, like, our, like, we like to think of human beings as, like, static, right? But we understand evolutionary theory. We understand that we come from, have evolved from other things. And we're still evolving. And it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. We're still growing as a species. Doesn't look like we're going to the right place, but, you know, progress is what they say. And for the last story, listen, this is a story that I think is near and dear to my heart. Listen, we talked about some stories that are emotional today, and this one is amazing. So Flacco the owl escaped the zoo in Central Park and has been spotted hunting and eating prey following the escape. And so just think about that. You get out of jail and you're just feeling free and you're out there and you just see these fat ass rats and it's, you know, and the owl is able to go down and just live his life. That's amazing. Except for when you realize that this owl is in New York City and it's only a matter of time before it eats something poisonous. But for the meanwhile, we're going to celebrate the freedom of Flacco. Listen, we'll be watching out for Flacco. Hope he doesn't get sick. Because I feel like if you're eating street food off in New York, listen, it's good. It's good. I'm not going to lie. You're eating those hot dogs at the corner, I bet they hit the spot once or twice. But after a while, you're going to get the bubble guts. And I'm going to pray for my man's Flacco, even though his name is Wacko. You know I was going to go there. Listen, we do this every Tuesday, 10 to 11, off the beaten path, right after Crimes and Treasons. Listen, we got the whole Tuesday night on lock, 8 to 10, 10 to 11. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Tune in next week, but not if you don't give any money to the fund drive. Listen, if you're broke, listen, you can tune in still. Listen, we're all broke here. Listen, you thought I was going to just exclude you from being broke? Nah, this is why we're here. This is for the community. Every Tuesday. With that, I'm out.